this. Okay, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and today we're going to talk specifically, we're going to begin this part of our study is on the different pieces, specific pieces of armor that Paul lists for us, and today we're going to talk about the belt of truth. All right, so we just kind of reminder, and for those who are with us the first time, then just to let you know where we've been in this study, we began by talking about the fact that war is hell, okay? And there is a relationship that we discuss between war and hell. There is a war that is going on, and we have to understand that. We have to remember that. It is a spiritual war. It is not just simply a world war where everybody's involved in it. It is a universe war. Okay, this war involves not only physical people, but it involves everything in the spiritual realm. It is a war that engulfs the whole universe, and it is ongoing. Another thing that we've said about this war is that every one of us is in it. Okay, nobody gets to claim neutrality in this war. All right, there are no neutral parties in this spiritual warfare. All right, the thing that we have to keep in mind about this is that this war is individually won or lost. And though we help each other, we encourage one another, we stand by one another, we fight with and for one another, this war is won or lost individually. And nobody can win or lose this war for anybody else. We've got to remember that. Winning or losing, then, is about heaven or hell. Most people are going to lose this war. And much of it because they don't even realize that they're at war. Okay? We need to understand the serious nature of spiritual warfare. Our study on spiritual warfare, we began by looking at and understanding, first of all, the nature of spiritual warfare, that it is spiritual in nature. It is not a physical war. Okay? Secondly, we talked about the enemy. We need to understand who the enemy really is. And Paul talks about the fact that our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not a people against people war. But rather, it is against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the enemy. And we need to keep that in mind. And one thing that we have said all along is that Satan uses people, that is flesh and blood, he uses people against us, okay? But we have to remember the people are not the real enemy. Satan is the real enemy, okay? And then the last part of this is where we really are beginning this morning is preparing, making sure we are ready, we are prepared for battle. All right? So, how many of you are familiar with armor all? Probably most people are. You might have even used some of it. I put some on my dashboard in my car this morning before we left this morning. I said, that thing needs some armor all. Do you know anything about the history of armor all? Where it came from? Well, here's a little bit of information. Back in 1962, Joe Palker, who was a polymer chemist, discovered this miracle formula that protects the rubber and plastic and vinyl from UV radiation and ozone. In 1966, a local auto shop owner convinced Joe to bottle and sell his formula, and they called it back then Tridon. And you know, the note up there says that's no dirt spelled backwards. That was the original name of Armorall, okay? And in 1972, it became known as the product that we have today, Armorall Protectant, okay? And so, you know, we're familiar with that Armorall, and I emphasize the all part of it, okay, Armorall. But what we need to keep in mind is that was not the original Armorall, okay? The original Armorall, or the full armor, okay, came from God, all right? So Joe Packer has got a really great product. It works really, really well, but he was not original with it, God is the originator of armor all protectant. All right? This morning, we're going to begin by talking about just one piece of that armor that God has provided for us. And it is the belt of truth. Now, there are different people talk about this list of the pieces of armor that Paul writes about, and some would suggest that it's just kind of an arbitrary, he puts them in there, not in any special order. I disagree with that. I think that the reason that Paul listed the pieces of armor the way he did, I think he has a specific purpose in listing them, and I believe, and I'm convinced, that he begins with the belt of truth for a very specific reason. And when I'm finished with this, hopefully you will understand why. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." If you have an older version, like a King James or what have you, it says, "Gird your loins with truth." Okay, now, what does it mean to gird your loins? What does that really mean? That's really important to understand why the belt of truth is the first piece of armor that Paul talks about. All right? The word gird or girded basically means this. It means to prepare as oneself for action. Get ready. All right. It also means to encircle or bind with a flexible band, such as a belt. To make something such as clothing or a sword fast or secure. So when it talks about girding, it's talking about being ready and securing whatever else you have. Okay, securing it for battle. So what does that really mean? Well, how to gird up your loins. In back in the ancient times, in Bible times, people wore tunics for the most part, long tunics. Well, you know, they couldn't really fight. They couldn't really run very well. You ladies, you wear long dresses sometimes. How easy is it for you to run in a long dress? Well, the idea was that they usually had this long tunic, but when they needed to do work, or they needed to run, or they needed to fight soldiers, they would gird up their loins. And what that meant was they would roll up that tunic, okay, and then they would take it or gather it in the front, and they would pull it between their legs and pull it up behind them, take the corners of it and wrap it around their waist and tie it off. You see? And that way it was lifted up out of their way so they had free movement. That's what it means to gird up your loins. Now, Ephesians 6 is not the first time that we read about that in the Bible. You go all the way back to the story of the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and when God was giving the Israelites final instructions to get ready to leave Egypt, okay, here's what he said. "And thus shall you eat it." He's talking about the Passover meal, okay? "Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded and shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it," how? "In haste." In other words, you need to be ready to move, ready for action. Thus the term girded, right? Jesus also, in John chapter 13, when he was getting ready to wash the feet of his disciples, okay, would you say that that is action? He's getting ready to wash feet. He's not just talking about it. He's getting ready to do it. All right, and look at what it says. "Jesus rose from the supper and laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, he girded himself." He prepared himself for action. To do something, you say. So he girded himself, and then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. See? So it is taking that and securing it. It is being prepared for action, prepared to do something. And so when Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 tells us, and the original language literally says to gird yourself, okay, then he's telling us to prepare ourselves for action. And in this case, specifically for battle. Okay? Prepare yourself for battle. Right? You do that by buckling that belt of truth, he says, around your waist. So a Roman soldier, for instance, would gather up his tunic, as we said a moment ago, and then he would take that belt that he had and wrap it around his waist, and that would hold all of that in place, along with his sword and dagger and other things on that belt. So that belt not only carried the things that he needed, but it secured everything else. And that's why it needs to be the first thing that we are wanting to put on as we prepare ourselves for action. Okay? Everything else, all of the other pieces of armor, are secured by the belt. Okay? What does that mean? I mean, we can see that in a physical way, in terms of the necessity of having that belt there. But what about in a spiritual way? Why is this belt of truth, in a sense, kind of the foundation of the armor that we wear? Okay? Well, if we're not set in the truth, then nothing else, none of the other pieces of armor really matter. They're not going to be effective for us. All the other pieces of armor that God provides to us are secured by truth. Okay? Being secured by the truth then gives us confidence in each of those other pieces of armor. You following me? Now, here's what I mean. Truth helps us, and let's think about these other pieces of armor. We have a breastplate of righteousness that he provides for us. Well, the truth helps us to know that we are right in our heart. We wear that breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart. We'll talk about that later on. It helps us, as our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, to be at peace even in the midst of the battle. You know, one of the things that people struggle with so often, we're in the midst of battle and warfare, is the turmoil that we feel within. But God provides us with armor to be able to be at peace even in the midst of that battle. And that peace comes by being secured in the truth. We have a shield of faith. The truth allows us to stand firm in that faith. We have a helmet of salvation to guard our heart and our thinking, our mind rather, and our thinking. But again, it has to be grounded in the truth. If we're not thinking truthfully, then we're going to have problems. You say. And finally, that truth allows us and helps us to wield the sword of the Spirit with confidence, knowing that we are standing on and with the truth in our lives. So you see, the significance of the belt of truth being the first piece that Paul talks about here, and the first piece that we need to secure, we need to understand how important the truth really is. Now, there are a couple of things here that we need to understand. Why is the truth so important to us? What does it really do for us? When we have this belt of truth buckled around our waist, all right, then how does that really help us in the midst of spiritual warfare? All right, well, first of all, it helps us to discern the truth. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, we need to understand that truth helps us to see through the lies that Satan tells us. And he certainly tells us a lot of them, doesn't he? At times when you're feeling low and maybe feeling worthless and maybe you're listening to Satan and he's telling you, you know what, you may as well just give up. God doesn't care about you. If God really did love you, he wouldn't put you through all of this and things of that nature. You ever heard any of those lies? Yeah. Satan tells lies all the time. He can't tell the truth. It is not within Satan to be truthful. In fact, Jesus in John 8, we talked about this a few weeks ago, Jesus described him as a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. He says, "For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And so the belt of truth then helps us to be able to discern the things that we're hearing and the lies that Satan is telling us. It helps us to see those for what they really are. Okay? Him being the father of lies, the devil is a liar, Jesus said. He deliberately, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago also, he spreads false information to obscure the truth. And he does it in some very covert ways, all right? Very secretive and so forth. He makes things sound right when it's really just a lie. And he's been doing that since the very beginning. The very first lie, way back in the Garden of Eden. "You will not surely die," he told the woman. Okay, "You will not surely die." Well, she knew that was a lie. She knew what God had told her. But Satan wrapped it up so nicely that it sounded good. And she listened to him. Okay? And he's been doing that with mankind ever since. But that belt of truth helps us to be able to see through his lies and to refocus and listen to the truth that God tells us in his word. The second thing that it does is it allows us to see through false teachers. Okay? So we have Satan that's telling us all kinds of lies, and we have people out here that Satan is using to give us false teachings, right? We looked at this a few weeks ago. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John there says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because," why? "Many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are people who are out there teaching God's word falsely. They are teaching wrong things, and people are listening to them. If we don't know the truth, we don't have the belt of truth buckled around our waist, we're likely to believe anything that somebody comes along and tells us. The Bible says thus and so. The Bible says this. And if we don't know the truth and can't discern the truth by having the belt of truth buckled around our waist, then we're liable to be taken for a fool. The Apostle Paul tells us this. He wrote to Timothy, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." So you see, we have a lot of people who don't want to hear the truth because it's too hard to swallow. So what they're doing is they're gathering teachers around them who will tell them what they want to hear. And one translation says, will tickle their ears. You say, they want to have their ears tickled. Well, again, by having the belt of truth buckled around our waist, it allows us to know when somebody is telling us something that the Bible doesn't say, something that is not true, we're able to discern. That's what the belt of truth does. Then the third thing that it does for us is it allows us and helps us, encourages us to tell the truth. Okay? You don't have to raise your hand and admit to this, but how many have ever been in court where you have had sworn in and asked to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay? If you raise your hand, I would ask you why you were in court to begin with. No, just teasing with you. But you know, that's the standard swearing in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Okay? That has to do with this word, veracity. Okay? The word veracity basically means a conformity with truth or facts. It has to do with accuracy. Okay? A devotion to the truth or truthfulness. So we talk about truthfulness in terms of someone's veracity. And back when I was in police work, that was very important, and it was a common term that we talked about, is a person's veracity in court. In other words, does the judge see you as a truthful person? And for a police officer, if you lose your veracity, then you're no value to the police department anymore. Because if the judge does not trust you that you're telling the truth, then you may as well not even be out there, because you arrest someone, you take them to court, they're just not going to believe you. You see? I had a case one time where I had written someone a ticket for speeding, this man a ticket, and he came to court. And this was right over here in Petersburg. And he came to court, and he was arguing that I got the wrong car. I'll never forget this, okay? I got the wrong car, and he was trying to say there was these other cars, and they were there, and he wasn't speeding. It was one of these other cars that I got. And I'll never forget, the judge looked at me, and he said, "Trooper Urich," he said, "if you had any doubt as to whether this man was speeding, what would you have done?" And I looked at him and I said, "Judge, I would not even have stopped him." And the judge looked at me and he said, "That's what I thought." And he pronounced the man guilty. Now, I say that just as an illustration of the importance of veracity. That judge knew me as an honest, truthful trooper. Okay? And that goes a long way as we deal with other people. What kind of veracity do we have? What is our reputation amongst other people for truthfulness? All right? And as God's children, we need to be known as truthful people. And having that belt of truth buckled around our waist will cause us to be very careful, all right, when it comes to issues of truthfulness. We live in a world where today someone might go to court and be sworn in this way: "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth," even though nobody has any idea what that is anymore? And, you know, it seems kind of funny, but at the same time, it's sad. It's a sad commentary on the world that we live in, where people, you know, they're telling the truth. People just as soon tell a lie as the truth. It doesn't really matter to them one way or another. But that cannot be so with God's children. We have got to be known in our families, in our homes. We've got to be known with our neighbors. We've got to be known certainly in our workplaces, the people that we work for and work with. We have got to be known as truthful people. See? And so sometimes I tell people, especially when I'm counseling with folks, you know, and they're asking me about something, and I tell them, you know, I know that if I tell them the truth, they're not going to like it very much. Okay? And so what I will warn them, and they say, "Well, what?" I'll say, "Now, if you don't really want to know, then don't ask me." Okay? Because if you ask me, I'm going to tell you the truth. All right? So we need to be known as that kind of people. If you ask me, you know I'm going to tell you the truth. Right? That's what the belt of truth allows us and helps us to do, is to be truthful people. The wise man in Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, we're going to look at two verses here real quickly. Verse 6, where he says, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth." And then in verse 8, he says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Again, as those who belong to God, God's children, we need to be walking in the light and living in the truth. And without the belt of truth wrapped around our waist, buckled around our waist, we cannot do that. Right? Again, the wise man in Proverbs 19 and verse 22. "What a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar." Better to be poor than a liar. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. The Apostle Paul there tells us, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." We need to speak truthfully to one another. Be honest. Tell the truth. The Apostle Paul, in beginning in this part of Ephesians 6, talking about the specific pieces of armor, tells us to gird your loins with truth. Be ready for action. Secure anything, and that's part of the idea of that. Secure anything that is going to get you tripped up and cause you to stumble and fall. That's why they would take that garment and gird it around them so that it wouldn't cause them to trip and stumble and fall or anything else. It wouldn't get in the way. We need to do the same thing. We need to secure anything that is going to get in the way, that is going to cause us to stumble. We do that with the truth. We truly, truly are in the fight of our lives. Spiritual warfare is not just a little skirmish somewhere that's going on. It is real battle, it is real warfare, and it is a fight for our lives. And we have got to resist and overcome and defeat the enemy. And so that's why God provides for us this armor. And that's why he begins with the truth. All right? Okay. As we consider these various pieces of armor, we look at this one this morning, the truth. In the midst of spiritual warfare, I want to encourage you to be thinking about the battles that you have been fighting. Maybe, perhaps, or as early as today, or yesterday, or last week, or whatever. Spiritual warfare goes on all the time around us. How has the truth played out in the battles that you have been fighting with Satan? That's something I want you to think about. How has the truth played out? Have you found yourself, for instance, you know, maybe perhaps being less truthful than you really know you should be? Okay. Have you found yourself listening to the lies that Satan is telling you? And maybe getting kind of sucked into that. My encouragement to you this morning is to rely on that belt of truth. Put that belt of truth on, so that you can see through the lies that Satan is telling you. That as you are studying God's Word, for instance, or you're listening to someone else and you're talking with someone in your Jerusalem or your Judea about God's Word, that you're able to discern the truth with that person. And that you are known as a person with veracity. Maybe if that's a problem for you, maybe how others see you, maybe you're not as truthful and they know that, and that's the reputation that you have. That's something you need to fix. But we have the opportunity for whatever, any of those kind of circumstances or whatever anyone else might need, for us to offer in prayer, for us to help you with, to be more like Jesus in your life. That's what we want to do. And so we offer a time of invitation. Chuck has a song that he's chosen that we're going to sing in just a moment. And we encourage you, those of you who are worshiping with us this morning online, sing along with us. And if you need to respond to the invitation, if you have a prayer request or a need that we can fill, you can call either or text rather Dale or Wes. Their phone numbers are on the screen there, and they will be on the various song slides as we go through there. Their numbers will be on there. You can text them right now and let them know what your prayer request is, and we will handle that this morning. For those who are here with us physically this morning, if there's anyone who has a need that we can help you with, please just, all you got to do is come up and let me know, or you can let Dale know or Wesley know, either one of them. Again, for those of you who are worshiping with us online, because I know that those who are here with us right now physically this morning are Christians, but if there's someone out there listening to us this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ, and you've come to the point where you recognize the need to do so, and you have the desire to become a Christian, then all you've got to do is call us and let us know. Text one of these two guys, let them know, and we will make whatever arrangements need to be made as soon as possible to have you baptized into Christ Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as your Lord and repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. All you have to do is call us and we will make that arrangement for you right now. Chuck, come on up and lead us. Let's stand together and sing.